Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And so we've been looking at this issue of some of the practical things of what the Apostle Paul is explaining to these saints at Thessalonica, with the understanding that now that they have put their trust in the gospel message and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today, that the issue becomes once somebody has done this and they've started to have the edification process happening, that there's going to be a result of things related to the walk that an individual has as they're having the doctrine be applied to their life. And that's one of the things that we see, and when we have this comparison, we looked at some things last time of how Israel's program talked about things related to an individual having to be under the law, having to perform in order to either have their salvation or to maintain their salvation, that these things were a reality for them. And that what we see today is that the Apostle Paul talks about how an individual has their salvation without the things of the law, without having to do any sort of good works related to that salvation. Now, let's turn over to the book of Ephesians, and we'll go to chapter number 2 as a starting point for this. And, you know, this is a passage that, you know, most individuals who've had some understanding, some edification happening after their salvation, have heard this passage here, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter number 2, and it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And here you have the Apostle Paul talking about how if there were works involved related to salvation, that the individual be boasting that they had accomplished this on their own and that this was their reality of things, as opposed to how we know and understand that everything related to our salvation is not things that we have done, but it is what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf, because he was the only one that could be righteous enough, that way his righteousness could be counted in the eyes of God. And that's the thing of when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees his Son in us. You know, and when we look at the things of that performance-based system, we see how Paul makes it clear that the law has nothing to do with individual state. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 6. We'll see how Paul makes a very clear statement about the issues of sin and the law and all of these things that individuals think that they would be a part of. We're going to read here verse 7 of Romans 6, and then we're going to skip down to verse number 14. Verse 7 says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And so when you read through these chapters, you see how, as Paul talks about in verses 3, 4, and 5, he's talking about the justification of an individual. Chapter 6 starts a discussion related to the sanctification of the individual. And you see how, as he starts with this, he's identifying the fact that an individual is freed from sin and that they're not under the law. So the things of law and sin have no impact on who we are as members of the body of Christ today. And that's such a liberating thing for individuals to hear and understand, because for most people, when they hear these things, they still think that these things have some sort of an impact on their life. And they think that an individual could still be put under the law, could still have that influence. They still think that sin, and when we talk about sin, I'm talking about the sin that's a transgression of the law that could lead to the second death, and that separation from God, they think that that sin could have an impact on who they are. And if that sin really had an impact, then a person would have the capability of losing their salvation, because if something like that got put to their account, then the Lord Jesus Christ would have to be put back on the cross to take care of sin. He was a one-time payment to take care of that issue of sin that would separate an individual from God for all of eternity. And that's why you see how Paul writes to the assembly in Galatians. Let's go over to Galatians, or go to chapter number 3 first. Galatians chapter number 3. And we're going to read here a fact that is said here about what was accomplished here. I think in verse number 13, which says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So, what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross allows for the law to no longer have any sort of influence on anyone. You know, to the point of where, you know, Paul can say these things, which is only the Apostle Paul in the dispensation of the grace of God could make these statements about the law not having an impact on someone. You don't see Peter making that reference. You don't see James. You know, we read last time James chapter number 2 talking about how faith without works is dead. Let's turn back to chapter number 2 now here in the book of Galatians, and we're going to see how Paul's going to make some statements here about the things of who we are here. We're going to start here at verse number 16 of Galatians chapter number 2. And it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And this statement here about the things of the law, again, this is something that nobody else could have made a reference to, but you see how everything centers around the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and how what we are supposed to do is to allow him to live through us. That's why, and I'm going to read verse 20 again of what we just read when it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us that is really supposed to be the issue. The problem for so many individuals is that they try to put themselves under some sort of performance system because they see it all throughout Scripture. They see how, you know, man was justified by the things of the law in time past. They see the Lord Jesus Christ talking about how when someone asks him what how to be saved, that he tells them to keep the commandments. They have these understandings, and for most individuals, this is what they want to do because this is what they've been told by individuals that they're supposed to do. They're not studying these things out for themselves, because if they read the scriptures and studied it out for themselves, they would see how the scriptures actually truly point out that this is not what is supposed to happen. Now, we see how the Apostle Paul, if we turn off the 1 Timothy chapter number 1, when he's writing to Timothy here, he's going to talk about some of these things of the law here again and talk about a thing of how people try to put themselves back under this system. And we're going to start here at verse number 3, and we're going to read down through verse number 11 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And we see how what Paul is saying here about the things of the law, as Paul says, that the law is not for righteous individuals. And when he's talking about righteous individuals, it's not man's righteousness that's the issue of how someone can be seen as righteous. It's the fact that somebody has the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've put their trust in the gospel message for today, And because they've put their trust in that message, they're seen as righteous. And that's why it's saying the law is not made for a righteous man. Because man's problems, if the law was in place, no individual is able to keep all 600 plus parts of the law for their whole entire life. And that's what the standard of the law actually is. It's not just the Ten Commandments. And if even it's just the Ten Commandments, individuals don't follow those for their whole entire life. And what if a person breaks one part of the law, they're guilty of the whole thing. The law doesn't point out, you know, the things, you know, for a righteous individual. The law points out to individuals who are not righteous and points out the issues of their failures and why of themselves they're not good enough to be able to try to do these things on their own. That's why it's not made for a righteous man. We have, as members of the body of Christ, we have been removed completely from anything to do with the law system. You know, you don't put somebody under the law, you know, after they're saved, to try to get them to keep walking right, which is something that individuals try to do because they don't want to actually study out the things of how Paul talks about that, you know, now that somebody is saved, that the doctrine is going to give you the information about how to live, about how to, as we've been looking, it's that walk that he mentions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. The issue that goes, if we go back to Ephesians chapter number 2, and I purposefully didn't read this verse when we were back there last time, because I wanted to leave it for this point of, now that we understand from the positional standpoint of who we are, now Paul's going to say something about the practice and that walk. When he says here, right after he's just identified, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, that the very next thing that the Apostle Paul says here in verse number 10 is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the purpose and the idea that God has is that we would walk in these things. You know, that it wouldn't just be something of where we would say, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is that we do. God wants us to do good works. He wants us to be doing the things reflective of the doctrine that's been given to us. That's why we see how Paul talks about the grace of God and it having that impact, the word working in us to accomplish these things. What we see if we go over to Titus chapter number 2 and how Paul makes this reference to the things of the grace of God, and, you know, this is truly what the grace of God is supposed to be accomplishing in our life if we actually allow this to happen for us. And we're going to start here in Titus chapter number 2 at verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And so we see how Paul starts with the fact that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So the fact that everyone has access to the grace of God. And that's different from the things of what we saw back related to Israel's program, because they could not have said that everyone had access, because salvation was of the Jews. The thing, you know, everything was pointed to Israel's program, and the only way that somebody could get to salvation would be to have to join themselves with what Israel was doing. In the dispensation of the grace of God, it is now open up to where all men have access to salvation. Doesn't mean that all men are going to use that access. Doesn't mean that all men are going to actually have salvation. It means that all men have the opportunity to have salvation through the grace of God. And it's also the grace of God that's going to accomplish what Paul says in verse number 12, that the grace of God's going to teach us. So the grace of God teaches us, and it says denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So the grace of God is what teaches us that here are the things of what we should not be doing. And then it's the grace of God, well, also it's going to be accomplishing the second part of this verse, which says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it's the grace of God that accomplishes not only the fact of here's what you are not supposed to do, it's the grace of God that's going to tell you that here is what you should be doing as a member of the body of Christ. Here is what you should be doing if you have that understanding of the Word of God rightly divided. If you've taken in the doctrine that is laid out in the books of Romans through Philemon, if you've applied this to your life, then you would have the understanding of here is exactly what it is that we are supposed to do as members of the body of Christ, in order to be seen as being pleasing to God, as doing the things of what the doctrine has truly laid out for us. And this is why individuals really do struggle with these things, because the unfortunate thing is that most individuals really do not study for themselves. They allow other individuals to actually be doing their studying. They will attend a service. They might watch, you know, videos or listen to messages of individuals teaching, but they don't actually do the work of comparing Scripture with Scripture to make sure that what they are hearing actually lines up with what the Word of God says. That's why the whole thing is study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is each individual's responsibility to be studying, taking the doctrine in, and as they're taking the doctrine in, it's going to have an impact on who they are, an impact on giving an individual the information of here's exactly what I need to do during this dispensation. Now we're going to continue looking at some of these things during our next broadcast. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of some of our old Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as this broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.